So very similar to the readings we had last week, in this second to last week of our liturgical cycle, the readings help us prepare for that end of our life, whenever it may come. As St. Paul warns us, it will come unexpectedly. But as St. Paul reminds us that we are children of the light, children of the day. So we ought not have any fear about that day, whenever that day comes. Because as disciples of Jesus, we are living in the day. Or at least we should be. And it's within that reality that we can hear well the parable he tells us in the gospel. Much like last week when we had the two groups of the wise and the foolish virgins, and when the door was closed, some were locked out, a definitive judgment, either you're in or you're out. Same thing today. Either you're rewarded for your good and faithful stewardship, or you are not, and you're thrown out where there's wailing and grinding of teeth. And so how do we hear this, and how do we apply it? How do we make sense of it? There's a man going on a journey. That man is Jesus Christ. And he has entrusted his wealth to his servants. That's each one of us. That he has entrusted to you something of his. That word entrust, that might be kind of the crux for all of what we have today. Because we had it in the first reading as well. As the book of Proverbs tells us about the faithful and good wife whose husband entrusts his heart to her. That softens it up a little bit. It's a little bit more of a tender image when we think about the husband and a wife entrusting themselves and the husband entrusting himself to his wife. The same way that the man entrusted his stuff, his wealth, his talents to those servants. So for a master, for a great king, a very wealthy man to entrust to his servants the great task of being a steward of his goods. In a way, he's elevating them from just a mere servant to a higher rank. Through the waters of your baptism, your status was elevated. That you're no longer just a mere servant, but you've become a steward that God the Father has entrusted it to you. The same way a husband entrusts his life, his body, his mind, his possessions to his wife on that first wedding night and then for the rest of their lives, this giving, this sharing, this tender sharing of myself because I trust you. And I trust you because I know you. And that was the thing that happened last week in the gospel where Jesus came, where the bridegroom came and told the foolish virgins, I don't know you. And so we spoke last week about coming to know the Lord. And when we know the Lord and he knows us, that sharing of our lives is easier to envision and easier to surrender to. Because it's not just a master who's giving us tasks to do. But there's a communion of persons in which this is taking place. So when we look at the three servants, the three stewards, what do we see? How the first two kind of operated in the same way. Even though one was given a much greater amount than the other, there doesn't appear to be any jealousy, any comparison, because each was given according to their ability. But they immediately went out to do the work, which tells us there was some freedom there. They didn't feel weighed down by some heavy-handed expectation. But without even being told what was expected of them, they knew, because they knew their master. But the third servant, He operated out of fear. So we can rightly say that he did not know his master. Because even upon the master's return after a long delay, what he told the master, "What I think about you was wrong." So not only did he not have a relationship with the master, he clearly did not have a relationship with the other stewards. Because if he was in a relationship with the community, they would have said, "Hey, you're wrong. That's not how he is. Let me tell you about him." So when we don't know the Master, when we don't know God the Father, we oftentimes don't know our community. That we settle for isolation, and then we live in fear, and we hoard our stuff because we're afraid someone may come and take it. And we start to see everyone as an enemy, someone who's after me to get me. Christ is challenging us today. Again, from last week, to get to know the Master. Because we ought not be in fear of that final day, but that final day is coming. And when we live in the truth, when we live as children, as sons and daughters, brothers and sisters in the light, living in communion and in fellowship with God our Father and with one another, it's a joyful anticipation, a joyful expectation that the Master is coming. We can imagine the joy in those first two stewards, how excited they must have been to tell their master, "Look what I did. You gave me this, and now look what I've done with it." Like a young child who's waiting for their father to come home from work to show the pictures that they colored or the crafts that they did. They can't wait to show the good work. But did you notice that the master told both of them that you are faithful in small matters? You know, one talent is probably 20 years worth of wages. But they both, regardless of what the work they did, the master said, "You are faithful in small matters." Oftentimes we get caught up in that comparison of what someone else can do, what someone else has, and I'm not as good as, or I don't have that, or if I only had that, then we live in these contingencies. And we shorten the gift. And so we pray for that openness to the Father's love, so that he will entrust himself to us and we will receive that beautiful gift. Because that image of the husband and wife in the first reading from the book of Proverbs, we know what St. Paul tells us in Ephesians, that those of you who are married, your marriage is an icon to the world of Christ and the church. And so the talents we have, it's not just our ability to sing or to be good at math or to draw a straight line. The true gift, the true talent that you've been given is your faith. Because that's what God shares with us in our baptism. That's what God shares with us in the Holy Sacraments. His very self. He shares himself with us. And so your life of faith, the spiritual, sacramental, sanctifying life that you have been given, what are you doing with it? Are you burying it? Are you more willing to talk about your favorite football team? Or do you joyfully share the truth of the gospel, the joy of the gospel? That you were once children of darkness, but now you're a son and daughter of the light. That the Father is coming back and he's expecting a return on his investment. And you can't wait to help someone else invest their gifts to multiply their life of faith, their life of grace, So if you're in this state of grace this morning and you're able to receive the Holy Eucharist, or if you're not, as you stay in your pew and you pray, ask for that refreshment, that renewal, the restoration of that life of grace within you. Ask for the multiplication of that beautiful life of grace, the life that you are given. We need not fear that the evil master is coming to exact revenge on us. But our Father is coming back. He's coming back to delight in the good work that you do, so he can share with you those sweet words, "Well done, my good and faithful son, my good and faithful daughter. Enter into the master's joy."